Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Your brain needs support, and new Ollie Brainy Chews are a delightful way to take care of your cognitive health. Made with scientifically backed ingredients like Thai ginger, L-theanine, and caffeine, Brainy Chews support healthy brain function and help you find your focus, stay chill, or get energized. Be kind to your mind and get these nootropic chews at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Climber, demoing and pitching songs is not what it used to be. If you want to be a pro in today's music business, it sure helps to know how today's pro songwriters demo and pitch their songs. So that's what we're going to talk about today on The Climb. Johnny, do that thing you do.
Welcome to The Climb!
This is a show dedicated to helping singers, songwriters, and indie artists like you create leverage in the music business. Leverage is what you're going to need to get ahead. You got to do it for yourself, but you don't need anybody's permission. You got to prove that your songs have value. You got to prove that people like your music and that people are coming to see you and that they're streaming to you, that you exist and your music is out there and that people are digging it. It's not about your talent. It's not about your potential. It's about what have you done for me lately? That's why we called it The Climb. C-L-I-M-B, creating leverage in the music business. That's a backronym. It's brilliant. My good friend and co-host, Mr. Brent Baxter, who is an award-winning hit songwriter with cuts by Alan Jackson, Randy Travis, Lady A, Joe Nichols, and more. He's got hits in Southern Gospel, number ones. He's got top tens in Australia, all in the last few years, making miracles happen. And he's helping songwriters like you become pro by revealing how you write like a pro, do business like a pro, and then he connects you with the pros to advance your career because it's all about relationships at that point, baby. You can find Brent at songwritingpro.com. Once again, songwritingpro.com.
And I would like to introduce you to my co-host, Johnny Dwinnell. Johnny owns Daredevil Production. They're breaking artists digitally by identifying new fans through data. Yeah, it's like complicated, but Johnny knows all them big words. If you're an artist looking to increase your streams, blow up your video views, sell more live show tickets, and get discovered by new fans, TV, and music industry pros, then Daredevil Production can help. Daredevil has worked with multi-platinum artists like Colin Ray, Tracy Lawrence, Ty Herndon, Andy Griggs, just to name a few. You can find Johnny at daredevilproduction.com. That is production. Singular, no S, and there's no S because there is no other Johnny D.
Hey, buddy.
Delightful. Hey, man. Good to see you.
Delightful. The lovely. Delicious. What's that song?
That thing, yes.
Yeah.
Whatever that was, I've heard it before. It's been a minute, though.
Man, I'm over the cold weather thing here at the end of March.
Yes. Thought it was over, but like the villain at the end of a movie, it just brings back up one more time for one more jump scare, and you're like, good cold.
Yeah, enough already with
Thought
the 20-degree weather here. What the?
Yeah.
It was snowing yesterday. Snowing.
That's not right.
March 19th, snowing. Like, what? No. Yep. This is no, Mother Nature. Stop it.
But Mother Nature doesn't stop, and let me tell you what else doesn't stop. It's changes in Nashville. Changes in Nashville does not stop either. And
that's what we're talking about today.
That is. You like that segue?
I love that.
It was a little janky, but that's how we do things. So, yeah, today what we're talking about is, so my buddy Steve Leslie, he wrote this article that just had a whole lot to do with changes in Nashville from like the 90s to now. And specifically this time we're going to focus in on demos and pitch meetings because it is not what it used to be. It's definitely changed significantly from the time I hit town. I hit town in 2002. 2002, and Steve hit town like 92, and it's changed a lot since both of our times hitting town. So I just want to dive into that today, let you, you know, just kind of so you can adapt. You know, they say, you mentioned off air a little while ago, something, you know, military, it's improvise, adapt, and overcome.
Yeah.
Well, we have to adapt and overcome because things have changed, and we're going to dive into that today.
All right. I love it. Well, before we do that, let's take care of the business here. Join the Climb community.
Yep.
Go to facebook.com/groups/theclimbcommunity. Ask to be let in. We let everybody in, but you got to ask. You got to read three rules. Okay. And essentially, here's the breakdown. It's just like, put everything in its place. There's a post for where we want to hear about your gigs. There's a post where we want to hear about your new music. There's a post every week where we want to hear about your wins. Put all that stuff in there. Get a lot of love. Get a lot of support. If you put everything that's all you in the main feed, you're going to get roadhoused. What's the main feed for? That's for stuff that's for everybody, right? Mm-hmm. Your gig time on your raga, death metal, old school country fusion band is not for everybody. Like that goes in the gig section.
That goes on Thursday's gig alert. And we want to hear about that there, not in the main feed.
That's right. But man, if you got anything inspirational, if you got anything educational, if you got anything that is entertaining and would appeal to singers, songwriters, and indie artists, by all means, put it in the feed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I'll put funny stuff in there. I put inspirational stuff in there. I just did some the other day. I shared something that Janelle shared. I'm like, you need to put that in the Climb community. She's like, I don't feel like I should. And I said, well, I'm gonna. So I did it.
Nice.
So anyway, let's talk about some wins.
Yes. So every Wednesday we post the New Heights segment in the Climb community. You're welcome to post on that on any day as a comment under New Heights, but it comes out on Wednesday mornings. So if you're looking for the new stuff, Wednesday mornings, but you're welcome to post as a comment there anytime, because it's always fun to celebrate wins, but it gets the most activity on Wednesday mornings.
That's right.
Let's see here. So just a couple, we don't have time for them all because there's just way too much winning going on. Taylor Hughes Music says, I've been nominated for 2 awards for the Appalachian Arts and Entertainment Awards. They are this weekend. So wish me luck. So by the time this comes out, hopefully we'll have a win that's already posted saying I won and I swept both awards, and I'm super happy because I'm super Taylor
Hughes. That's Taylor?
Taylor Hughes, yes. So
Taylor Hughes, congratulations. First of all, congratulations on the nomination, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, that's great, Taylor.
Yep.
Let's see. Marvin Adcock says, 3 songs were pitched yesterday to Crucial Music for a new television series coming out on Starz. It's a psychological thriller series called The Venery of Samantha Bird, starring Katherine Langford, who is best known for starring roles in Hannah Baker's 13 Reasons Why on Netflix and other prominent roles, including Meg Thrombey on Knives Out, Leah Burke on Love, Simon, and Mara Carlisle and Spontaneous. And yeah, all these shows that I never watch. But Marvin, that's awesome. And I hope your song gets on TV. I would watch more if I had more music in TV shows and movies, possibly.
Go Marvin. But go Marvin.
Yeah. So good job, Marvin. Good job, Taylor. And I have a little one to add. It was a fun week on, I guess, well, at the time of this recording, just on Friday, I got an email from a buddy of mine from inside the studio where a song of mine was being recorded by a bluegrass artist.
Nice.
And so can't talk about it much now, but excited about that. I got some artwork from a Southern gospel artist for a single that I'm supposed to have coming out. And I got confirmation from another one about, hey, your song goes to radio with us on, well, by the time this comes out, hopefully. So like, that's fun. Just little things popping up. So
nice. Man. Little bass hits here. Little bass hits there.
Why do we like him?
It's Moneyball, baby.
Why do we like him?
Because they get on bass.
He gets on bass. That's right.
That is some Moneyball quotes right there, guys. That's it. Like, you know, how do we get home runs? By getting them on
exactly.
base. You know what I mean? So why do we like him? Because he gets on base.
We're not buying players. We're buying wins. And when we buy wins, it's because we're buying base hit. We're buying getting on base, right?
Well, we're buying home runs. That's how we get wins. And how do we get home runs? By getting people on base.
Well, actually, home runs, you're not really on base.
Well, no, but I mean points. It's
runs,
not home runs yet. We're buying points, buying runs.
You're
how
buying
do we buy
runs?
You got to get them on base first.
Got to get them on base.
There it is.
Mm-hmm.
So good for you. Hey, I got to tell you something. Like on the side, climbers want to hear this too. So I'm working with Ray Hamilton.
Yeah.
On Placement Pros on this new software thing that he has that is going to affect every songwriter and every artist out there that you're going to want to know about. We'll have him on the podcast.
Yeah, he and I have talked about it.
Yeah. So this is cool. Now, here's the other thing. So he's going to do, I mean, this is just genius marketing, right? But it's, I'm going to call it what it is, but it only works because it's valuable to you, right? But to you too. And I saw one of these, like, so there's going to be upsell on this, right? Like you get in with the software, you're like, oh, I love this. And then he's like, check this out. And what it is, it's a weekly list of what shows are in production and who needs music and what kind of music that they need.
A sync tip sheet.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so he showed this to me and I was like, what? They're going to make like a Deadpool 3? Didn't even know.
Oh, yeah. Hugh Jackman's in it. Wolverine's coming back, baby.
Yeah. I mean, dude, it's like, what the hell? I didn't even know this. But they're like, this is the kind of music they're looking for. Mm-hmm. I mean, like that. And his whole thing is built around like metadata artists. Make sure that you don't lose out on sync because you're missing mission critical metadata, right? And it's like super, super, super inexpensive. Like you do it by song.
Yeah.
It's just, it's brilliant. And you're going to be able to get your hands on that too. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When Ray's ready to launch that, like, we're definitely going to have him on to talk about it because that is something that's so helpful.
We're three or four meetings in, like with Ray, me and his investor that's doing it. Mm-hmm. So we're close, man. Like we're close. So
that's great.
But yeah, I want you to, yeah, you need to know about that. Like that's exciting. Yes. As you said,
we all do.
Brent needs to have more money on shows or more songs on shows.
Well, working on that. I have a couple things that I'll be coming up in movies. So not like Deadpool 3 level
that's
movies,
awesome.
But like, it'd be like, I'm trying to think of a knockoff Deadpool name. It'd be like Death Puddle 14. Puddle of Death. Not to be
or the biopic on Puddle of Mud. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's the one song that's not theirs. Yeah. All right. So, well, good job. Make sure you guys follow or subscribe to the podcast and tell a friend about it, man. Spread it around. Let other people know how we're helping. Okay.
Yeah.
So talk to me about demos.
All right. So this is from my buddy, Steve Leslie. He's, man, Grammy nominator, Grammy winning songwriter. He's just a lot of hits. He's had cuts by George Strait, a lot of that Daryl Worley stuff that you know, like Tennessee River Run, Second Wind, Kenny Rogers cut. He's awesome. I was looking through a George Strait like CD jacket today, like looking for inspiration and stuff. I forgot. I was like, oh, there's Steve inside that George Strait.
That's so cool. He signed Abby Cohn to a pub deal when she was 16 years old.
Yeah.
She's now grown into
a big machine
artist and playing the CMAs on a main stage for the first time. Like very exciting for a former Daredevil artist. I love that.
Mm-hmm. So, hey, Steve, if you're listening, appreciate you, buddy. So, all right. So he did an article that was posted in Indie Music Academy. So shout out to there. So just there's this big expansive article and it's called, I believe it's called Songwriting in Nashville 1992 to 2023. So kind of a 30-year look at it. Super helpful. I broke it up like I text him like, can I turn this into like three podcasts? He's like, sure. I'm like, all right, I'll give you a shout out because it just rang so true with me. I'm like, here we go. Good. He did all my show prep. Thank you. Thank you, Steve.
Yeah.
And so I'm pulling a Johnny. Here's an article. But anyway, so Steve moved to Nashville in 92, signed his first staff songwriting deal 2 years later with EMI Music Publishing. At the time, there were over 30 record labels and 200 publishing companies, large and small, employing over 4,000 signed writers. Most of the ones Steve worked with at the time were like true songwriters, meaning not artist writers. And so we're going to dive into a typical 90s demo session. And really, this is very similar to the demo sessions that I had like at my first publishing deal and kind of through most of my pub deals in the early 2000s, like 2005 through 2007, when I was at Major Bob, like it was still really similar to what Steve says here. You know, there wasn't a whole lot of change and then everything changed and we'll talk about it. So typical 90s demo session, after getting the go ahead from your publisher, your co-writer and your co-writer's publisher, it was time to put together a session. So
there's only two writers in the room in the 90s.
Yeah, and typically in the 90s, it was 50-50, right? So you'd have two, and then they would typically have a publisher. You would have a publisher, right? Because they're pros, and there's all these publishing deals out there. And so you can't just run out willy-nilly and go hire and do the whole demo process and spend money that you expect the other people to
reimburse,
cover.
Yeah.
You got to get permission. And so that was typical. And I've had some that I wanted to demo something, and the other publisher was like, nah. I've had stuff that, I mean, my Joe Nichols cut Crickets on his Crickets album.
Nobody wanted to demo that.
Like my co-writers were self-published, so they were cool with doing a demo, but I was published at the time and my publisher was like, nah, we don't know what to do with it. I was like, you get it to Joe Nichols, is what you do with it. And so we ended up doing a guitar vocal on it and still got it cut. But anyway, so you had to get permission.
Got you cut your damn self.
Yes.
So you go back to your pub company, like, how do you like them apples?
And they're like, we'll take the money. Thank you.
Yeah.
So we'll recoup. We'll talk about that maybe next episode of mine. But you had to get permission because they don't want to get a bill if they didn't have a chance to give permission first. So that's good policy there.
That's right.
So then for your session, you would select the best, in quotes, meaning the most commercial, 4 or 5 songs. Mm-hmm. So you're going through, and if you're at a publishing deal, maybe you have your own session, or maybe they're doing an all skate session where they're putting together the best 5 songs out of all their writers that month or whatever. Or maybe you have your own session. They're going through picking the best 5 or 6 Steve songs, the best 5 Brent songs, if it's a Brent session. So you go through all the work tapes, all the stuff. What are the 5 most commercial ones that we feel like we can have a best chance of getting cut, making money, right? So you're not doing one everything. And then you hire a session leader to book the musicians and write the song charts. So that's like the chord charts, the arrangements, the national number system, all that good stuff. So most songwriters didn't or couldn't write their own charts, while some did play on their sessions. Mm-hmm. So say if we're going to do a session at Larry Beard's studio, we might hire Larry to be the band leader. Mm-hmm. Or if we're doing a session at somewhere else, we might hire like Billy Panda to do it. Typically like the guitar player, you send them the work tapes and they would just listen. They'd chart the whole thing out. You might tell them, hey, we want Mike Rojas on keys. We want Jimmy Carter on bass. We want, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or they just trust them to put it together.
Mike Rojas and Jimmy Carter, 2 people that played on Josh Royer's record.
Playing on a bunch of my demos. They're good guys.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they'll put the band leader kind of wrangles all the cats, mm-hmm. makes the charts, makes the copies, all that stuff. So you book a studio. So most sessions used Music Union players Monday through Friday in 3-hour blocks. So blocks start at 10, 2, and 6. Mm-hmm. So you got 4 hours for a 3-hour block. That way they can get trade out, get them out, get the next crew in, all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. So you could have up to 3 sessions in a day, and it's a 3-hour block. And during that 3-hour block, you would record 4 or 5 songs. Steve says he's gotten 6 before, and he knows one writer who typically got 7 or 8, which is bonkers.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's what kind of machine these players are. I mean, you bring them in, you guys. So the Nashville, real quick, like the Nashville charts they're talking about, their number system. If you haven't been in Nashville, if you don't know this, it's like instead of writing out the score, right? Instead of writing out the music on a staff,
you're not writing. This is a G sharp. This is an F flat major. This is a E minor. This is an A. This is a C. No.
It's like, here's the key. Keys in A. You got, yeah, 1 chord, 2 chords. So 1 chord B A, 2 chord would be B minor. 3 chord would be C minor, 4 chord would be D major, 5 chord be E major. Mm-hmm. And that way, when you bring a singer in, mm-hmm. okay, your pro singer, and all of a sudden it's like, this isn't sounding right. Her sweet spot or his sweet spot be up a half step or down a half step. They just shift down the neck and it's the same patterns.
Yeah. And so all they do is, you know, mark out the G, that is the key of G.
Yeah.
Just mark that out and write the new key at the top, but nothing else at the all the ones and twos and whatever don't have to change.
Exactly. It's all the same stuff. It's amazing. It's super freaking efficient. It's
incredible. It's awesome. So the band leader that you hire, he puts that all together. And so, because I've sat in with like Larry Beard while he's listening and just doing that thing. I'm like, that's amazing. Because me as being non-musical, that's just like, how do you know that's a 2 or a G or a C or what D or whatever? It's awesome. It's magic.
Dude, me being musical, like it never gets old, even on like amateur song demos. Like you bring in a work tape of somebody singing into their iPhone, right? Acoustic vocal. Mm-hmm. And maybe we play them some kind of like, hey, we want this to go this route. Like here's your North Star. Mm-hmm. And you play a little snippet from whatever, a Keith Urban song or something like this to kind of feel we want. And then they go in and they cut it in one take.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's how you do one song every half hour.
Yeah.
Is they pretty much cut it in one take. The only time they'll start over is if, you know what, we didn't like the tempo. Like it feels like it's dragging a little bit, mm-hmm. or it feels like we're pushing it a little bit. So let's just go back, drop a couple of clicks. But then they go and they hit it in one take and the bed tracks are laid down in one take. And then they do another couple passes for keyboard player might jump from piano to B3. Mm-hmm. Or Rhodes piano or some guitar player, he's going to put on a different layer on that, but they're going to start stacking up the tracks and Bob's your uncle, man. In half hour, you're freaking done and you're on to the next one. It's astounding to watch. It's just a vulgar display of prowess. It really is.
What does Colgate mean by live life to the brightest? Could it be a rich glass of red sipped inside a Parisian cafe on a snowy night when my gaze is met by a tall, mysterious... I mean, brushing is directed with Colgate Optic White Pro Series Toothpaste gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 3 days, so you can live life to the brightest and finish that glass without worrying about teeth stains. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
Yeah. So, I mean, you start off, the whole band's in there, the writer's in there, maybe the publisher, and you're like, all right, and they'll play the work tape. And so everyone's just watching, making their own little notes on their stuff. And you might be like, hey, this is a vibe we're going for, kind of have a Dierks Bentley meets George Strait in an elevator kind of thing or whatever at a samba part, you know, whatever. Yeah. And you tell them like, all right, you know, you might even play a little something as a reference track going, hey, we really like this Jason Aldean guitar stuff. We want that kind of thing and whatever. And yeah, and then go in and boom. Pass, like, yeah, all the way through one pass, and then they'll start going back into an overdubs. If somebody, yeah, like you said, Johnny, wants to lay down a whole nother pass or a whole nother instrument, they may play the song again, but a lot of people are just going in doing fixes after that first pass. Mm-hmm. Unless there's something, like, one thing you just never do is go back, well, let's go listen to that whole thing.
Yeah.
You don't do that. Why? Because it's just as fast to go play it again. Just yeah. Go play it again.
Well, you heard it the first time.
You heard it when they did it.
When you say they do fixes, like the guitar player will be like, hey, man, can you get me in on like the first bar of the second verse? Because they know they made a mistake right there.
Yeah.
And they're going to go fix it. Like they know exactly where they made a mistake. Yeah. And they go and they fix it.
Yeah, let me hit that bridge again. And so they'll go back and maybe if somebody... Like you said, the piano wants to, hey, let's do some B3 on this too, or the guitar wants to lay down another thing. Maybe they'll run the whole song again, and then people will just pop in where they need to make fixes and stuff. It's super cool.
Yeah. Acoustic player will jump off and hop on a banjo or a ganjo, that kind of thing. Yep. Put the color instrument in there.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. Because you have people that will do more than one instrument. And so, yeah, the math on that, if you're saying 3 hours, that's 180 minutes, five songs, that's 36 minutes a song. And that includes walking in there, getting, you know, the kind of the hustle and bustle at the beginning when you're saying hi to everybody and you're listening. So even if you knock that down to a little over 30 minutes a song, that's still listening to the song, which is like 3 minutes, getting in there, boom, going. It's amazing. It's like, wow, that happened fast.
Yeah.
And so typically what happens there is you'll have the scratch vocalist singing the scratch vocal, which is typically one of the songwriters. And it's like, we're not keeping this. So you might be out in the control room just singing.
Yep.
Or you might be in a booth somewhere and you're just singing, and that's just so they know where the words go.
Stunt vocal.
It's stunt vocal. Yeah, basically. And so that's just amazing. It's like it runs really fast. So then after that, that's when you do the tracking. So that's majority of your instruments. Every once in a while, you might have to hire something else brought in later, but typically, boom, that's all your instrumentation. So then you book the studio for overdub vocals. So that's when you, unless you or your co-writer is a great singer, a demo singer is hired. So that's guys like Matt Dame. That's guys like Troy Johnson.
Yeah, that's going to happen at a different time.
Yeah, different time.
Because you got the whole studio full of the studio musicians, and they're just going to rock. Like, I mean, like Buddy Hyatt's like one of the best in town. Mm-hmm. And they're doing friggin' six songs every session.
Yeah.
They're doing six songs every three. They're doing one every half hour, and they might do 20 or 30 in a day.
Yeah, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you pick a different day for your singers, and it's great if your co-writer can do it. But a lot of times you'll end up hiring a pro, a Dame,
yep, Matt Dame,
Troy Johnson, a whoever it is.
Troy Johnson, yeah, who sang on our demo. I sang on
The Clown Song.
Who's Next?
That's right. That's Troy on a demo of a song that I wrote with Kenny Greenberg. But all right, if background vocals are needed, then the demo singer or background vocalist, we call them BGVs, BGV specialist is hired. So I remember having some stuff you might have, you know, we're doing a male lead. So we have Matt Dame sing and we need a female BGV. We'll bring in like Joanna Janae or Casey Bowles or whoever. Mm-hmm. They'll come in and then they just do the BGV. So that's at a separate time. And then you hire someone to mix the songs.
Yep.
And 1 to 3 weeks later, you pick up your session. And back then, Steve saying it was on like tape and then eventually moved to CD. You'd have your song. So after musician cost, studio space, engineer, demo singers, BGV singers, cartage. Cartage is instrument delivery. So you have these companies that show up and they roll in with the guitar cabinet and the drums and they do all that stuff. That's cartage. So
like Lonnie Wilson shows up and plays the drums. Maybe he adjusts a cymbal.
Yeah, he doesn't set up his own drums.
But it's all been hauled there, set up for him. The way he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Like the cartridge guy knows what he wants.
Yeah.
Everything's been tuned.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I mean, you talk about a friggin' studio rock star. Lonnie Wilson is a god among men. Like,
I mean, because you're not going to pay Lonnie Wilson to come in and set up his drum set.
Yeah.
Like, that's just a dumb use of resource. That is not his point of highest contribution. You want him playing drum, whatever.
Yeah.
And so they have companies, cartage companies. That way they don't have to lug around all their gear because then they charge a lot more.
Yeah.
Right. I'm rolling in. I'm hitting the cans and I'm going home. So there's cartridges, there's piano tuning, the final mix, all that together. You're looking at final cost from $800 to $1,000 per song on demos.
Mm-hmm.
So not unusual. That was typical of my time in the early 2000s. So typically you and your co-writers' publishing companies paid for half that and the rest was recoupable from any future earnings, meaning no out-of-pocket expenses for the songwriter. So basically you'd be on the hook for, say, if you do five songs, $1,000 per song, that's $5,000. The co-writers say each song has two writers, you and somebody else. And so $2,500 of that is other publishers and other writers. They chunk that down. So your half is going to be $2,500. Out of that, $1,250 is recoupable, meaning it goes on your ledger going, hey, Brent owes us this much more that we're going to get back out of future royalties.
Yep.
And then the publishing company eats the other half. They pay that. So that's how that works. So after picking up your session and listening to it 800 times, you met with one or more song pluggers at your publishing company, and the group listens for possible artist pitches based on the current Who's Looking list. So you're talking about the Ray Hamilton, like the sync pitches. Mm-hmm. I get tip sheets too. We would get tip sheets at Major Bob, at Peer Music, at RPM, these different places I've written. And so I remember you get the session in, all the pluggers. I remember sitting with Jesse Frazier when he was a low man plugger, and Scott Sheridan and Mike Doyle, and sitting in and go, let's listen to the new session. And I remember Mike scribbling on his legal pad going, look at all these people we could pitch these songs to. Like, this is awesome. And so they're keeping in mind who's looking and just listening to the new session, and everybody's happy and going, all right, let's go hit the streets.
Yep.
So that is like a 90s and I'd say early mid 2000s demo session process.
And when they say hit the streets, they mean 16th and 17th Avenue.
Music Row, baby.
1 mile stretch, one-way streets. Mm-hmm. That's Music Row. And you just walk across the street, down the block, and you could hit like five different publishing houses on the way. What's the beer place I'm thinking of that was right there on Music Row? It's still like on Music Row, just moved.
You talking about Bobby's Idle Hour or?
Yeah, Bobby's Idle Hour. On the way to Bobby's Idle Hour for lunch and a beer.
Yep. All right. So this is a typical 2022 demo session, according to Steve Leslie, again, my buddy that wrote this great article. These days in a co-writing session, one or more of the writers are often skilled track guys, building the basic rhythm parts from the ground up, like in the co-write. You add a couple of acoustic guitars, some convincing vocals, and voila, demo. Full sessions with live musicians still happen, but it is uncommon, because publishers save a boatload of money and new songs hit the street sometimes the same day.
Yeah.
And that's it. So, I mean, it's, I remember I was writing this past week, I was writing with the new group, Tulane Summer. They have their first single out right now. They're on Wide Open Music.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote with my buddy, John Marlin. And so Victoria Goodman, my buddy Aaron Goodman's wife, she runs things over at Wide Open, the publishing side. And so she was kind enough to hook up that co-write with Tulane Summer. And she also was trying to get a producer in the room, you know, a John Marlin, he was already booked, or somebody that can basically run the Pro Tools rig in the room, start building a track as you're writing,
mm-hmm.
because that saves money. Well, we weren't able to get one.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone, it was crazy, CRS week and everything else. So it was just me and Tulane Summer. We got a heck of a song. They're fired up about it. But now we got to go, okay, now we got to go like record this sucker to make it, to kind of present and kind of take that next level.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. For a lot of it, I mean, I was writing with my buddy Wilkes, mm-hmm. you know Wilkes, and Haley Benedict, who's an artist up in Canada, and we wrote, and Wilkes is a great singer, producer, instrumentalist, all that good stuff. And so it was on Zoom, so he wasn't building a track like in the room, but he went later and he sent her these killer tracks with his vocal on it that as a guide for her vocal, and it's going to cost like nothing. Now, Wilk is investing time, extra time, but hopefully we'll get a cut out of it. It's a really cool song.
But he's got a co-write, so he's got skin in the game.
Right. He has a co-write. So that's part of the value that he adds but I mean, he adds all of it because he's a good hang and great writer and mm-hmm. great producer and all that stuff. But
a good human.
We don't have to pay for a demo. Like it's boom, it's there.
Yeah.
And so I've been in those rooms where somebody's building a track as you're writing, and now you got this, you're starting to feel it. And by the end, you laying down that vocal and here we go. We're done. Turn it in.
Yep.
So that's the thing that happened a lot more for economic reasons, also because you can run out and pitch it same day. So the technology has changed that. So if you can be that track person, that is a value you can add to the room, and it will help you get in rooms because it's definitely valuable.
Yeah.
Because it saves people money.
That's right. That's right. And keep in mind, it's a B2B product.
Yep.
The purpose of that, it's a demonstration of the song. It's you're selling the lyric, the melody, and the vibe mm-hmm. of the song.
Yeah.
They're going to re-record it with the artist anyway.
Yep. Yeah, they are.
Where they will use a live band, typically.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, I mean, phew, couldn't do that in 92.
No, you could not. So that's the difference in demo sessions. Let's run on to pitching here. So Steve says, although I've been in a number of song pitch meetings back in the day, they're usually conducted by your plugger or someone at the label, or with someone at the label, the artist manager, the producer, or the artist himself. So this is what Steve says is was a typical 90s song pitch meeting. Good morning, so-and-so. Can I get you anything? No, thank you. I'm just excited to play some hit songs for blah, blah, blah. First demo plays, verse one, chorus, stop. Second demo plays, verse one, chorus, stop. Third demo plays, verse one, chorus, verse two, chorus, stop. Cool, let's put this one on hold. And a hold means don't play this for anyone else till I can get a response from eventually the artist, right? Mm-hmm. I got, basically it's dibs. They're calling dibs.
Yeah.
Fifth demo plays, verse one, chorus, stop. All right, thanks for coming in. I'll let you know what I find out.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the pitch me. You go in physically into the office, or maybe they come to you and you're playing these songs and they hit stop. And typically they go, cool, cool. Cool is a Nashville no, by the way.
Yeah.
Cool means not cool. So that's it. You kind of cycle through these songs and hopefully one gets on hold or they love it or they're going to pass it along to so-and-so. And that's kind of how it worked back in the day. Now, typical 2022 song pitch meeting. If you've written with the artist becomes your song plugger. Depending on how many songs they're recording that day, which ones they and the label like best, and how much publishing on each song the artist has, you may get a call that your publisher that from your publisher that so-and-so has recorded your song.
Yeah.
So the artist becomes the song plugger, and then it goes, I hope it makes a record, to let's hope the record comes out, to I hope it's a single at radio, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was the thing, like, say, with Tulane Summer, just two super cool guys. I was in the office and they kind of had their release schedule on the board and first one's already there. Now they're looking to fill in the other slots. They have possibilities at the bottom, but they're still playing top this.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it with the guys and I'm not expecting to pitch it anywhere. I hope I don't have to.
Right.
I hope they love it and they cut it and they put it out and we never have to pitch it because they become the song plugger.
Yeah.
Same thing when I was writing with Kaylee Bishop this past week, mm-hmm. You know, she's an artist. We're writing for her. And just a lot of that stuff, writing for the artist. Now, there's some still writing with another co-writer just because we're going to pitch it.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of it is that writing with the artist, and then you hope they cut it. I mean, that Haley Benedict stuff I just mentioned,
mm-hmm.
I hope I don't have to pitch it.
Yeah.
Because I hope she cuts it and puts it out, and there we go.
That's right.
And so that's been kind of interesting as I've been writing with more artists, looking at stuff for publisher meetings or even stuff just to pitch some of the stuff that is pitchable. But man, I don't have as much of a catalog there. Because a bunch of these newer songs are tied up kind of waiting on the artist to get back to me, which is cool. Hey, that's not a problem. I'm not complaining, but like, wow.
It's a better percentage shot, right? It's a higher percentage shot. Yeah.
Yeah. You're in a smaller stack because a lot of the artists who write, and that's part of their artistry, what they're doing is they're picking from what's the best I've written versus what's the best I can find, you know, or at least there's going to be a certain amount of stuff that they wrote on the record, even if they're also looking outside. But I'd rather be competing against the best songs they've written than competing against the best songs in town. I just like my odds better.
Yeah.
I have songs that are duking it out and are competing against the best ones in town. But boy, writing with the artist, well, there's just many advantages to that
because
mm-hmm. you can go, oh, I get to know you. Like writing with Haley the other day, I was able to throw out a line and she was like, oh, you know me so well.
Yeah.
Yes, because I know her enough now. Like, oh, this thing, I know you love this art and made a reference to something that I know that she digs. And just because that comes from like, oh, we've written several times now. And like, okay, yeah, that's me. That's me. Like, okay, let's go. But that's the difference in song meetings is a lot of times you don't pitch as much because you hope the artist takes care of it and does it. And then what I'm finding for myself is instead of a song plugger, it's like a song reminder. It's a squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
Of going, hey, do we need to get a demo on this thing just for yourself or your producer? Like, do we want to go in and just kind of upgrade it so it keeps reminding you about it? Or, hey, listen to our song again. Dang, it's a banger. Whatever it is, to kind of trying to keep that thing and get another day on the books so you can write another song and have another crack at it is different than just, we got these songs, where we go in town with them. Although that does still happen, but a lot of that stuff happens. The plugging happens on the front end. It's building the room that has a chance for something to win. So you got the artist, a producer, and a writer in a room together. That's what publishers these days are trying to build rooms. My friend Tim Hunzi, who's over at, I think he's over at Big Machine now publishing.
Oh, really?
Said, I'm like a calendar jockey. That's what I do. I'm a calendar jockey these days. I mean, he said that a few years ago.
Yeah.
And it's true, because you're working at building what's a good room where I can get my guy or girl in that's super talented and I believe in, but get them in a place where they can succeed. Get them in a room with an artist or a producer, somebody who's
camped like out. I did with Josh and you and Jamie Grooms.
There we go. I have a much better chance at that Josh record.
And you and Blue with Mackenzie.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, oh, got an artist in the room. And if we do our job today,
we got wins in both of those rooms. We got wins in both of those rooms. And we got a banger with Mackenzie. Like, that's probably going to be the first single, I think. Woo. Like, it's probably going to be the first release. You know, I don't like singles.
Sweet. But Josh, it was a good one.
We'll see how the mix comes out, but it just is really, it really worked. And then we needed an opening song to open his show.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that. It's just great.
We got it. Yeah.
Perfect for the crowd response.
Mm-hmm.
It's all dialed in. So it's just like, yeah, man. Like, boy, you're betting 1,000 with me.
Well, there we go. There we go. And that's the thing, is more time spent building the room.
Mm-hmm.
And I was writing with Neil Cody just last week at the time of recording this. And we were supposed to write with an artist. Artists had to bail out because they had a photo shoot for their album that's coming up. And so just like, sorry, apologies. But so Neil and I got together and we tried to do a last minute Hail Mary, grab a couple, another artist or two. We put out feelers. Mm-hmm. Just, it makes sense. But anyway, short notice, no one is able to join us. And so we wrote for pitch. And we thought about doing some song starts just to bring in some other artists later. But he got a text that day from someone he knows at Warner Brothers. Like, hey, we're looking for stuff for Blake Shelton. I'm like, well, they ask.
Yeah.
Let's do it. Yeah. So I got this idea and we try to write something that would not just Blake, but definitely would fit him, we feel like. And so it's at work tape stage. So we just need to follow up on that. But it's like, okay, they're asking. So it'll get a listen.
Yep.
And Blake's one of those guys that doesn't write. So that makes sense. You know, we have an in, we have the ears, and we know he's going to cut outside stuff. Let's take a swing at that.
Yeah. And they can to you.
And we'll see what happens. But hey, if you want to check out Steve Leslie, his stuff, he's also a great songwriting teacher, coach, all that good stuff, and just a good dude and a heck of a man. He's so talented. He's so good. You can find Steve at stevelesley.com. Keeps it simple. Stevelesley.com. I appreciate, you know, yeah, I know he's appreciates the shout out and you dropping by to say hi. He's a lot of cool stuff going on. He also puts out some records and stuff himself, and stevelesley.com. But another thing I have for you for sticking with us is I have a gift for you. It's called 6 Simple Ways to Make Your Songs More Commercial. So if you want to figure out, hey, are these things worth demoing? Are these things worth pitching? Well, here's kind of a simple checklist that you can use on the back end to go, okay, are these commercial? Or use on the front end to help guide your writing so you write stuff that's more commercial and worth demoing and pitching. You can find it at 6.simpleways@songwritingpro.com. 6.simpleways@songwritingpro.com, or you just go to songwritingpro.com and you see it all over there. It's hard to miss.
And click on the link. Yeah.
Just click on the link and just tell me where to send it. We send you the PDF and it'll help every song you write from here on out be just more dialed in commercially and help you on your journey. So that's it. That's what I got today.
Awesome. Well, that takes us to the end of another Killer Climb episode. Guys, make sure you follow the podcast. Tell a friend about it. Join the climb community. This podcast exists because we want you to win. So keep on climbing.
And we'll see you at the top.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.